God just said it. The word is truth. Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, the truth, the life. God says, I'm light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. You can go on and on and on, but the word of God is intimately bound to the God that wrote the word and the God that manifested himself and became flesh and dwelt among us. They're intimately bound. They can't be separated, you see. They're one and the same. They manifest to us in different ways, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they're all the same. They're intimately bound. And that's when we understand that it can effectually work in our lives, is when we come to this place and understand it, is in truth the Word of God. And that is something that Paul rejoiced about with these Thessalonians, that they received it as it was in truth, the Word of God. So it was able to effectively work in their midst. Now, as we're going to read, I think we got time here. Got another 10 minutes and we're going to have communion. End of chapter 3, a few verses, if you will. We'll pick up in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 2. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as you did, as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measures of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it has happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. And let's stop there. But you see the picture. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's come, he spent 3 Sabbaths in Thessalonica and left a church there. A church that is experiencing the very same things that the Christians did in Jerusalem. Except in Thessalonica, it's by their own countrymen there in Thessalonica, versus in Jerusalem, it was by the Jews, their own countrymen. And Stephen gets stoned. And even in fact, Paul, as Saul, was going around imprisoning Christians. That's what that church in Jerusalem grew up with, was only that the Jews, the religious leadership, the countrymen of that country, were persecuting those that were turning to Christ, but that was their M.O. And it carried on and carried on and carried on. Well, finally, 20 years from the time this letter gets written, Titus Vespasian comes into Jerusalem. He overthrows it. He didn't mean to destroy the temple. It happened, but over 1 million people got killed, and God's judgment did come there on those that would oppress the spreading of the gospel. But Paul's saying, look, guys, this is happening to you're suffering just like those guys did in Jerusalem. You're receiving the gospel. You're getting thrown in prison, and you're being killed. And I only was with you 3 weeks. I'm not sure that you have held on, that you can persevere this affliction and persecution, you see. And so it was driving him nuts. He was saying, I can't take it anymore. I'm just going to send Timothy to see you guys. I'm going to stay here in Athens you know, and Satan keeps hindering me from going to see you guys in one way or another, but I can't take it anymore. I got to know if you guys are still there, if there's still a church in Thessalonica, because I know you're getting killed. I know you're getting martyred. I know you're being thrown in prison. I know you're watching your wives be raped and your children killed, and some of you are being sawn in half, and some of you are going through this and this. Are you still there? Do you believe the truth enough to stand in this kind of affliction and suffering and persecution? So he sends Timothy. Is the word of man worth this? The word of God, the true message of God is. For some reason, persecution grows the church. All throughout the New Testament, the book of Acts, we see the church grows through the dispersion caused by persecution. 9 countries we saw last night border Sudan. What's happening? The Sudanese, because of the persecution, are saying, I want to know about why I can't believe in Christ. They learn Christ. They're encouraging one another. What are they doing? The dispersion is driving them to the other 9 nations that surround it. The gospel. They say, what is it? 100 people are being saved every 25 seconds in Africa right now? Is that happening in Salisbury? Not even close. Not even close. Yeah, we're not being persecuted. Why? Why is the gospel suppressed? Why is the popular church today turned to soft-selling approach? Purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, billions of dollars. It's a soft sell. Get people to receive Christ and then later on tell them they're sinners. They need to repent and change their way of living. Problem is, it never gets there. Once you got them into Walmart, you want to keep them coming back, you know? Give them what they want. We'll turn over to John chapter 15 real quick. Keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians. And just hear our Lord, the heart of our Lord. Folks, I want you to know something this morning. This is not a church building message. This is a Jesus' church building message, but not an American church built. This is not the message that's going to get people flocking to our church. I'm telling you, it's not. But I'm called here to be true to the Word of God and to warn His people not to soft sell. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hate you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. You can lose John there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. The writer of Hebrews says this. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through miracles.